Welcome to the Adotat Show, where today we're diving deep into the heart of innovation with the mastermind behind Possible, Christian Mukay. Strap in for a ride through marketing's future and know more than you did yesterday.
Deserve to win when it matters most. Facing multi-billion dollar bet the company litigation? No problem. That's why we're here. Trautman Amin, LLP, is a true legal powerhouse.
Hello, listeners. I'm Pesach Latin, steering the ship across the vast seas of digital innovation, slicing through the realms of advertising technology with a zest of lime and a dash of whiskey. In today's episode, we're laying down the welcome mat for a true industry disruptor, Christian Mukay. Right? Did I get it right this time?
It was perfect, Isa. Thanks so much for the invitation.
The mastermind behind the Possible Conference. Christian, how are you doing? How's life treating you? And I mean beyond the LinkedIn updates.
Yes, exactly. So these are the more public updates. No, I'm doing quite well. I mean, as you can imagine, just a couple of weeks to go for the second edition of Possible. It's the most busiest time for me and my team. But it's exciting because, I mean, think about it. You know, we all work 365 days around the year for an event, which happens then for 2 to 3 days. So for everybody, it is really a different kind of work. You know, you are now going to the peak, you know, in a couple of weeks' time in Miami. I used to it. You know, I did it for years, visiting Mexico before, over in Europe. And that was possible, so I'm used to it. But for many others, it's a kind of different kind of workflow, you know, all around the year. But now it's exciting. Now we see things coming together, and this is overwhelming.
Hit me with the highs and lows. Any plot twists I should know about? And spare me no detail. My life has been needing a vivacious thrill.
I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, you think about, also after last year's event, you think about, you know, what do you want to achieve with next year's edition? Where do you want to do some improvements and implement new ideas? And then over the time, you know, considering global events, considering trends in the industry, you know, you have to be flexible all the time. And this is the biggest learning out there. You have something in mind, but also, you know, still 5 weeks to go. I know that we will make some turns in the next couple of weeks in many details because I think the level of requirement out there is far more diverse than ever before. And I think this is the biggest challenge still ahead of us, if I would summarize like this.
So you've morphed a local shindig into a worldwide extravaganza with DM Mexico, and now you've thrown Possible into the ring. What spark of madness made you say the world's absolutely parched for yet another marketing bash, and guess who's serving the drinks?
Yeah, that's a good question, and many people ask me that in recent months and years. Obviously, New Mexico is now, you know, this concept when I launched New Mexico is now 15 years old. You know, I've launched it in 2008, or it's more than 15 years, 16, 17 years now. There's a life cycle for events, and you have two options. You have to readjust the, you know, your own concept after some time, after 10 years more or less, or you keep going, and then you lose some momentum here. And this is exactly what happens with other events. You know, most of them, redefined themselves to stay relevant. Others did not, and therefore you do not talk about them anymore. So with New Mexico, it was the first kind of industry event where a virtual industry, something which just happens on screens, went real. And in terms of, you know, that we went into a trade hall, nothing else like this. So we went into a trade hall like a product-driven industry, like automotive or hardware industries, and built something, physically built something. To show to our industry. And that was a brand new concept. After so many years, I felt, and also I was asked out of the industry from many, many friends and industry leaders that time changed again, and there are other requirements out there. So between you and me, I would say, I thought about what could stay, what was the best outcome of New Mexico But what needs to be redefined? What needs to be adjusted? Where does it require new ideas in terms of executing and addressing the people in interest marketing, broader, far broader marketing world compared to a couple of years ago? And this is, you know, the outcome was possible.
Is this your version of if you build it, they will come, or more like I'll throw a party and see who will crash it?
Not really. I mean, it was very well planned. On the other hand, there are always a lot of unknown things, you know, where you cannot influence this. You know, we depend completely on the industry. I mean, we are lucky. We're working in an industry where a new technology comes around the corner every couple of months, every couple of years. An ad tech industry, which didn't exist when I started to work on Inexco, and this developed over the years then. And the good thing is we know that there's still something around the corner, you know, a new tech trend, for example, which supports our creativity and which supports our need to rethink every year from scratch on. I felt my team from the beginning on. Whenever we did possible for the first time, it doesn't mean we can do it similar in the second year. We have to go back to every single piece and have to review and have to rethink, well, this is the right thing. And a year later, is there another requirement out there? And this is the truth. It sounds simple, but this is simple. This is really the truth. And I train my team every day that this is the extra mile we have to go to stay relevant and to be better than hopefully most of the other events as an option for our industry leaders to know.
Was there ever a hold my beer moment that had you question your life choices?
Well, of course, there are moments where you might think, okay, is this still the right direction, or is it still the right concept? Is it still, of course, I mean, there's so many things happening. I think you need to stay open for that. And there's nothing wrong to adjust your own decisions, you know, and to maybe review it and go into another direction. I think this is, I did it in my career, and I would encourage every young person to do so. You should have a plan. You should have a vision. You should have a concept at some stage. But this requires 100% flexibility every time. Every time you're on your way to meeting the role. I think that's a complexity. That's part of the today's complexity out there. You know, I'm not just talking about the industry itself. It's out there in our life. And I think this is the biggest difference to previous years. But by the way, this is also one of the reasons why possible exists.
So every superhero has an origin story. What is Possible's and who are your Avengers?
Possible is, I would say, the premier marquee event, which is designed for the greater marketing ecosystem. And this includes brands, this includes technology, this includes digital, media, culture. These are all the topics which plays a massive role for marketers and brands to stay relevant in today's world. But also, importantly, this includes the consumer perspective. Why are consumers using those kind of technologies? Why are using them? You know, how are they consuming media in today's world, etc.? It is all about understanding the consumer perspective first before talking to our industry folks and say, this is what, you know, how we believe this is the right way to approach today's consumers. Quite often I see discussions happening. This is how we do it, and this is how we believe it has to be right, before really digging into the consumer side and say, okay, let's understand and let's involve them in our discussions, what is really needed and how things are rapidly changing every day. So I would describe it, how we approach this area.
So what was a Mount Everest-sized hurdle that you faced, and how did you conquer that mountain?
You mean
was it with a jetpack or good old-fashioned grit?
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
what were your biggest hurdles?
When we came up with this, idea, and then worked on the concept, it was still COVID time. And this is a good example of what we just talked before in the last couple of minutes. We were focused on, okay, what does it require? You know, what kind of measurements we have to take? What kind of action we have to take to let people feel safe in today's world, which was COVID. And then it turned into going into the end of 22. We had another topic on our agenda. COVID was not really relevant anymore. People got rid of it. But then we had this, you know, kind of recession ahead of us. And nobody expected this. When I started to work on Possible at the very end of 21, at the beginning of 22, that was all about COVID. And then a couple of months later, that was more or less, that disappeared. I mean, right. Yes, people are careful, you know, still, you know, how to interact.
It's hard to create a conference when things are changing so fast.
Oh, yes. I mean, this was definitely a big shift for us again in the midst of our planning. And I see events, you know, other events who did a turn, considering these kind of new requirements, others who were still do what they did before. And I think that makes a big difference. And we will see, you know, who will stay relevant and who is not. I think people are, leaders especially, are far more selective than ever before. And it's not just about the real added value and all this stuff, you know, which is a common thing. It's a real, the selective process is far more diverse than ever before. And I think that's a bigger challenge for events than ever before.
So how do you keep the agenda fresh? Do you keep a dream journal for event ideas, or is it all brainstormed in a secret layer?
It is really digging into details every single day. And this really starts the day after each event. So listening to companies, listening to brands, listening to your network, what is on their agenda. And then having the trusted relationship that companies and leaders will tell their secrets in terms of what's on their agenda, what are their plans, you know, for the next couple of months. And this is, it sounds so simple, but this is exactly the secret source. You have to understand, you have to try to be in every customer's situation and understand what's on their agenda. This is the only way. And then, of course, working with your peers in the industry to get an overall impression what is really relevant. And you're the creator. I mean, we are the doorkeeper from all these things out there in the market to nail it down, to do a proper curation, and hopefully come up with the most relevant conversations and topics.
Is there a speaker that encapsulates the Possible vibe perfectly?
You mean for this year or from last year?
Could be either one.
Each other.
Yeah.
I don't think there is one. It would not fit, you know, into this diverse world, you know, which I described, and the very complex world. And I think nobody can do it. It's not a single brand, and it's not a single speaker. I'm sorry to disappoint you and your listeners, because it would be great to have this one person. Yes, I mean, we had Elon Musk last year. People were heavily focusing on him. But this is, again, it's just a part of our business. It doesn't matter, you know, if you agree or not what he did and what he still does. But yes, I mean, in general, I like people who are controversial, you know, because I think this provides a better outcome than always agreeing on everything from the beginning on. So that's how we look into this.
So what do you think the secret ingredient is for the Possible conference that you won't find anywhere else? Is it a secret handshake or better Wi-Fi?
Hopefully both. We have the big mass event, you know, the CESs and the South Bys of the world, with right. Tens of thousands, if not 100,000 of people. And then we have, on the other hand, I call them the boutique events. Great events, you know, with 100, 200 people, very selected, very exclusive, which is fantastic. I don't think there's something in the middle, you know, with embracing the entire industry, but not becoming another mass event where it's getting out of control. With 100,000 people coming over a week, I cannot take care of every single attendee or customer. It's simply impossible. So this is one of the reasons why I believe there is a gap right in the middle. Think about Cannes Lions, or think about the other industries like, you know, Davos. We talk about, I don't know, 10, 15, 20,000 attendees, something like this in that range. That feels still personal in many ways. And from an organizer perspective, this makes me still, that brings me still into the position to create not just content, but also that I can provide a curation for my people being outside, for my guests and customers. And this is what we want to achieve. So there was a space right in the middle between the mass events and the boutique events. And this is where I couldn't find anywhere, especially not in the US, and especially not for the marketing industry. And there was a request to do it.
So the first possible was like an opening night on Broadway. Did the audience give a standing ovation, or were there a few critics in the crowd?
There are always critics out there. And yes, we had 2,500 people last year. It sounds limited. But also with 2,500, I mean, we had, I would say, one of the most senior audience, you can imagine. And of course, these are experienced leaders and they have dedicated expectations. They're always critics. And this is absolutely fine and necessary. But I have to say the majority was, overwhelming. The feedback from most of the people was overwhelming. I think we did it right. I think we set the tone, and people understand now what we do differently. But it would be scary if there would be no critic. And we consider this, and we do our survey every year. We talk to people. We spend time with every single customer after the event. We know exactly what went well, and we know exactly where it can improve.
What's the most unexpected piece of feedback that caught you off guard?
Oh, that's a good question.
Was there a suggestion that made you wonder if they went to the same event?
Let me answer this in a way that, you know, for some of my guests, you know, there couldn't be enough celebrities and talent on stage. For others,
right.
They told me, no, that's more than fine, because we want to have more industry leaders and experts speaking about these topics. At the same time, you know, we need more content. And then you have others to say, no, let's limit this because I would like to have more time for networking and do my business as well. I think this is still the most surprising thing, that the variety of expectations, I would say, is far more broader than ever before. This is the biggest challenge, I think, in today's event world. Not just for us, but also, I think, for others. But for us, we take it very seriously. And, you know, at the end, we want to make everybody happy, knowing that it's really difficult with 3,000 plus people this year.
So how are you going to measure success? Is it about numbers, or you just count the smiles?
Well, the answer is, you know, two parts here. I mean, yes, we do our survey, we do our studies, and we talk to people, and of course, we have all the summaries then ready to go through. But I would say more simply, if all attendees and all my customers, you know, who are sponsors and exhibitors, are happy, then this is my measurement. You know, if the majority, if not all, come back and say, that was the really brilliant event for us, and you know, whether it was I'm ROI focused, whether I'm focused on creating new relationships, whether I was looking for great surprising content, and I could provide something for everybody, you know, with my team, that's the best outcome we can imagine, and this is the goal at the end. Numbers is one thing, level of feedback and summaries based on numbers, that's all great. But I'm old-fashioned. I still believe in personal relationships. And this is the reason why we spend with every single one after the event time to get their individual feedback.
Was there a mic drop moment last year?
Well, I think on stage it was definitely, you know, the moment when Elon Musk talked to Linda Yaccarino. And then, right. The event, which happens, you know, shortly after. I think that was I think the most obvious thing last year for most of the people. Yes, it was a great turnout for us. I mean, the timing couldn't be better.
So did you have any inkling that their on-stage chat would lead to such a blockbuster partnership?
No. I mean, talking to them, preparing their conversations is one thing. But of course, none of us was so deeply involved. Of course not. We knew exactly, you know, how it would turn out 3 weeks after the event. Yeah, there were some rumors in the industry, but this is, you know, nothing I have to comment. There are a lot of rumors all the time around people and companies. But I knew that there was a very special relationship.
Right.
And of course, it was reason enough, you know, to bring me on stage.
Yeah, I just interviewed an hour ago someone who worked for Linda, and he said that as soon as she got on stage and started talking, he knew that they were going to do business together. I'm not sure how he knew, but he says he knew. He thinks that everyone in her orbit knew. I'm not sure. That's, yeah. I'm sure, you know, hindsight's 2020, so maybe, you know, a little bit of that is added to it, but yeah. He claims everybody knew.
That really could be. I mean, I can't follow on this. I'm not him, but obviously it was a very interesting conversation, and it was slightly different than originally planned. Yes, this is what I can say. And it was a great conversation, by the way. Yes, I mean, we're hoping for those kind of moments because that makes a difference, right? I mean, this is exactly what people are looking for, not the pre-stage, you know, comments, statements, which you already heard last week or last month. This is exactly what we're trying to figure out. And this is all about what we talked about last couple of minutes. You know, it's about preparation. It's about relationship, trust relationship to know maybe a bit more than others, you know, what they're planning to do and say on stage. But it's not just stage. You know, possible is a conference, and it's an immersive experience. Is an activation. It's an exhibition, however you call it. So we have more than 100 partners showing up and have a local presence there with booths, with cabanas, with spaces, and presenting our audience their solutions and what they can bring to the table. And this is a concept. This is a big differentiator to most of the other events, especially in the US. In most cases, we talk about a conference. And conference means, in general, great content, great networking opportunities. But there is something missing. We go beyond. We provide business opportunities. We connect those who provide solutions with those who are looking for solutions and help. And this sounds simple again, but this is the most trickiest part.
How do you pick who gets the spotlight, ensuring the event remains a catalyst for monumental moments?
Do you refer to the stage or in terms
of
Well, to be honest, I think those who get the spotlight most who are telling me, you know,
who talks the loudest?
I'm sorry?
Who talks the loudest?
Not the loudest. It's about, you know, where can we expect the biggest announcement, the most surprising announcements? You know, who is using Possible and understands that Possible is the platform for announcements? And those ones, you know, who involve us and bring us into where we are becoming aware of the plans, they're getting the spotlight because this is what people are looking for.
After last year, did you notice a shift in your gravitational pull? Were you like suddenly fighting off paparazzi or was it more like about sifting through LinkedIn love letters?
No, I wouldn't say this. We are definitely in the spotlight, and that always provide, you know, more automatically more controversial, you know, discussions. But no, not a big shift. We were not prepared for this. I would say this.
Can you tease any potential headline makers or dynamic duos we might see this year?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, obviously, everybody can find it already on the website. We announced most of them. There's still a couple of announcements coming up in the next couple of weeks. I mean, there are definitely, sessions like Michael Kassan will have a special guest being on stage. We will have Bo Zomer, being together with Winston Duke, and the global actor, very interesting conversation. We will have Gary Vee together with Swan Sid. I mean, there are so many, and we have so many CMOs and brands being represented and being involved in the discussions like, no other event. There are so many, to be honest. It would be unfair to highlight, just one or a handful, but at the end, these are great personalities, and everything is set for them. It really depends on how they play on stage, you know, how they act on stage, and how they provide these surprising outcomes and entertain in a positive way, entertain our senior audience. It now depends on them. As soon as they get on stage, it's out of my hand, it's out of my team's hand.
So going back to the beginning, where are you originally from, and how has that shaped you as a person?
Well, I was born in Germany. I grew up in Germany. I joined at the very beginning of my career. I had my own little kind of company. I think I was the first guy over in Europe who sold an ad banner mid of 90s with my own company. I was hired by then two of the most famous internet brands in the US. It was AOL and then Yahoo. So I was working in the marketing and sales business for them globally. I went then from the industry over to the event business. I launched in Mexico. At the same time, I moved to New Zealand, you know, for lifestyle reasons. I decided with my family that we want to change our life.
So you currently live in New Zealand?
I live in New Zealand now for 17 years. Yes, I moved before I launched.
Do you have any sheep?
In other words, I moved to New Zealand, and a couple of weeks later, I started to work on the New Mexico idea.
Do you have sheep?
No, unfortunately, you know, I have to disappoint everybody. I'm not in the rural, environment with my own farming, but I still I live in a smaller kind of community, which is far north of the South Island, which is called Manson. But no,
the only thing I know about New Zealand is it has the most sheep and churches per capita in the world.
Exactly, but unfortunately, the numbers shrink dramatically. You know, most farmers are swapping over to cows now. But we still have far more sheep than people, than population, which is
remarkable. I saw a video once of a police officer having to kill a sheep. I guess there's a lot.
Yes, it's a bit different. Yes. That's one of the reasons why we're here.
For the sheep. For the difference. Okay, so.
Sheep are one of the reasons. The wine is another reason, and the water and to be surrounded by the sea is another reason, and a lot.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people go there to retire, so. You're getting it early.
Thank you. I'm not as old as I still want to work a few more years. So give me a couple of more years, please.
So do you have like the breakfast of champions, or you skip the breakfast and regret it later kind of day?
I skip it.
You just get to world domination?
Well, I wouldn't say it like this, but I mean, we have plans. You know, this is not time yet. Let's see what the future brings. But you see what happens in the world. I mean, you can have your own plans. You have to be very careful. You have to be very flexible, and how you move forward. Things are changing so dramatically. You have to be prepared to turns every single second, if needed. That's different too, maybe 20, 30 years ago for sure, but yeah. Growing and dominating the event business in our industry, that's becoming the most valuable event. That's what I'm all about here.
So how do you feel about AI?
Oh my gosh. I would say it's not completely identified yet. Obviously not. I mean, it's a potential to create value and increase productivity. It hasn't discovered yet completely. I think one important lesson for me is we have to understand it first completely before we, the current limitation, before we count humanity out of the game. I think it's quite obvious. We are using AI in so many ways, for our own close testers, whether it's social media campaigns, whether you would see it on site, when you enter possible, by the way, we create AI generated art, on site as well. It's about, briefings for the content, all these things. So we're using it, like many other companies as well. But it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Why'd you choose Miami and how did it affect the conference?
Miami is the best place. It's the hottest place in Earth in terms of, it's a great community. It combines perfectly well technology, marketing, and culture. Allows us exactly what we do, to do an event outside and inside, not just being stuck in a windowless, conference room all day long. And it's such a strong community. I mean, I've learned over the last couple of years that so many companies are also people and leaders who move to Florida, especially to Miami. It's, a bunch of celebrities and talents are there. It's a perfect spot. Unfortunately, it's one of the most expensive spots in the US. This is a budget challenge for us.
Fast forward a few years, what do you want to be when you finally grow up?
Not what I became today, for sure not. I had not the idea, you know, where we are, where I am today. I wanted to become a sports star, you know. I did, you know, a couple of different sports there at the time when I was younger. I played tennis for years. I played soccer. I did, you know, I became a semi-professional dancer and all these things. And that was my dream at this time, before it turned into a more serious career, I would say.
And so that's your future? You go back into dancing, competitive dancing?
Don't think about it. No, I think, you know, what I did before, I think that's... I'm getting too old for this. No. It has to be a different sport. I have to choose something else. Maybe you can help me out with something else.
Cricket.
Cricket is, you know, the most popular one in New Zealand next to rugby. Unfortunately, right. I'm not into this at all. I don't get it. It's the most boring sport for me, sorry to say. I'm watching rugby. I'm not playing rugby, but I'm supporting the All Blacks heavily. But cricket, no way.
No way. You don't get it?
No, I don't get it. I don't simply get it. No.
Who's one person you trade places with for a day, dead and alive? And let's avoid cliches. If you say Steve Jobs, I need a really good reason why.
Well, you mentioned Steve Jobs. I wouldn't think about him because I don't have a kind of special relationship to him in terms of when he was leading this company, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe a politician, maybe somebody from a few decades ago who was a true leader, and to learn from those people why we are missing those ones in today's world. Because I don't
Winston
see them.
Maybe Winston Churchill?
Maybe, the first chancellor after the Second World War in Germany, maybe, somebody from the US, but it doesn't matter who it exactly is. It's really that I don't see the true leaders anymore. And this does not belong to a dedicated country. I'm missing visions there, out there, to lead people, to lead societies. I would love to pick somebody like Winston Churchill, for example, maybe from that time. They had a vision. They had a clear vision. What they wanted to achieve and how they wanted to move their company forward. And this is what I
would love to learn from. Who's your ultimate guest? Who would you really want to, if there was no, to spend any amount of money or get anyone on to the possible conference, who is your ultimate guest?
Well, in today's time, I think it would be somebody like Sam Altman, for example.
Right.
It would be somebody, you know, one of the big entrepreneurs, like Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos and those guys, you know, because they truly have a vision, a far, you know, broader vision. The movement founders, you know, they invest in so many different businesses. I mean, this is really, somebody like Elon Musk. I mean, you know, he runs a couple of massive companies. And talking to them for a couple of minutes, you feel that doesn't matter which topic, doesn't matter which company, they're into every detail. They can answer every single question. And this is so fascinating. And how they see tomorrow's world and why they invest, where they invest, where they spend all their time and energy. Those kind of people I would love to have if possible.
What's your favorite go-to drink?
It's the Lay's favorite, I have to say. It's cherries. It's a secret. I'm into pina colada. You know, that's my favorite.
Your favorite drink's a pina colada. You know, drink says a lot about a person. It's basically a personality test. So what does this tell about you?
I'm sweet. I don't. I like sweet drinks. I like cocktails like this. Why is it pina colada? It has a tropical look, you know, kind of background. Maybe it belongs to Miami as well. Maybe that, but this is one of the reasons. It means a warm environment, you know, a sunny environment. It's the place where I live here. Maybe that kind of relation. I don't know what you tell me.
Do you have a favorite meal that brings you comfort?
Oh, typical one. I like a lot, you know, typical kiwi. I like a lot hot kiwis, you know, the bigger body. That's one of my favorites. I like Italian cuisine, pasta. I am gluten-free. So for years, it was very difficult to get gluten-free pasta. In today's world, it's not an issue anymore. Wherever you go, also right. in Italy, you get it gluten-free. So I would mention those 2 months. But there's far more, you know. I'm eating.
Before we go, I'd like to ask everyone, if you could send yourself a time-traveling text message to yourself when you started in the industry, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
To be prepared for a turn every single second. You know, as I mentioned at the very beginning, everybody should have an idea of what you want to achieve and where you would like to end up. But you have to be prepared that it won't happen like this. And I'm saying this because, you know, it's nothing wrong to go into one direction and then you feel maybe sometimes you feel stuck. You're not feeling fulfilled. You don't feel joy in terms of what you're doing. And then it's okay to do a step back and go into another door or through another door into another direction. This is what I did. There were 3-4 key moments, you know, in my life, in my career, where this happens. And I'm thankful for this, that I did it, because otherwise I wouldn't be where I am currently, and I'm completely happy what I'm doing here.
Okay, and that's all she wrote for today. A huge tip of the hat to Christian for navigating the twists and turns with us. And of course, a hearty salute to our sponsors at Troutman & Men for powering the show. Be sure to tune in next week as we dive deeper into the enigma of advertising and marketing. Click by Fascinating Click. See you on the next wave. Well, we got this episode out a little bit early because we wanted to make sure it was out before the actual possible conference this year. Again, stay curious, stay bold, and know more than you did yesterday.